Holy Spirit.
Spirit.
Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, and Immanent Holy Spirit, the Divine Indwelling. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There is an insert in your bulletin that will give you an update of what is coming up in the next little while. And also it has our community chant, which, if you have your insert, I would pull out. Unless you are a far sharper pencil than I am, you will not have that memorized by the time we sing our community song. So you may want to just pull that out and have it handy. If you misplace the insert, there's also the website, consciousharmony.org. Please join us this Tuesday evening for our monthly enrichment of Gurdjieff music, and that's at 7:30 to 8:30. It's not entertainment. It really is soul food. It is food for the spirit, and I can't think of a better thing to do on a Tuesday night for an hour than to be fed. I'm always amazed at what Susan has prepared for us. We're going to be having an Introduction to Centering Prayer course starting this Saturday, October the 22nd. The cost is $75. There is lunch on that Saturday, and then it meets on the next six consecutive Tuesday evenings at 7:30. This is a seven-week course in forming a centering prayer practice, the last class that will be offered this year. And as always with all of our centering prayer activities, do not let money stop you. There are always scholarships. The only thing you need to do is be here and be willing. And we do ask that you sign up for the course. Online registration is now available on the CCH website for the January 4th and 5th presentation of Ilio Delio. Registration can also be done in the office, and you're asked to read The Unbearable Wholeness of Being, which Tim has intimated is not exactly an easy read, So you want to start doing that now if you plan to be here. Besides, it's food, and so it's going to be feeding you starting now, and you're going to be wonderfully prepared. Choir rehearsals for Christmas will begin Sunday, October the 23rd, in the Fellowship Hall at noon, and continue every Sunday until we sing in church on December the 18th. Singers of all abilities are welcome. And the Holy Spirit and Beverly do wonders and bless us all. So if you feel called, please join them. Also, it's time to begin our preparations for the Church of Conscious Harmony's Christmas offering, The Glorious Impossible. We're looking for anyone and everyone, and yes, that means you, to participate on stage and off stage. Rehearsals will begin Sunday, November the 6th at 1 a.m. There's only 5 rehearsals, and it is a glorious way to serve and be served in the community, especially if you're new in the community, or not. You may sign up after the service at a table set up on the other side of the bridge. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about, we used to go to this ashram up the Ganges. You had to walk 3.5 miles through the Gautama Ganga, crossing over about 5 times through the river to get up there. Let's just say it was fairly isolated. And and every year there were quite a few Westerners, we'll say. Every year Babaji would have the Westerners put on the Christmas pageant. And people would come literally from miles around. They would walk in to watch this event. And that reminded me of The Glorious Impossible, which for me, that really starts Christmas for me. It is an enactment of the wonderful birth of Christ, and it's a participation, and it's an offering to God, and it's an offering to the community, and it is a blessed event. So think about being a participant. There will be no fellowship after the service today because of our commuter retreat that's in participation right now. If this is your first time here at the Church of Conscious Harmony and you would like to find out more about the church and its offerings, there'll be someone on the other side of the bridge to speak with you and to give you something to take home and read and to begin a dialogue. And now Tim has a message for us.
Well, the first thing I want to do is ask for your prayer help. Got a note from Bernadette Roberts yesterday in preparation for a retreat we're going to do together at the monastery in Big Sur. And she says this will be our last time together. She's got something really serious, and it's really uncomfortable for her. And so I would ask you to join in prayer. She's meant so much to our community and has given so much of herself to this community. Please keep her in your prayers. For mercy, yeah. She's got a condition that I know you know, it's myasthenia gravis. And it's an autoimmune degenerative disease. She's been unable to speak for quite some time. And now we know why. Where are my glasses? Oh, are they? Okay. We have 85 people that are signed up for Ilya's workshop in January. Remember that we want a well-conditioned group there, so if you do a centering prayer practice regularly, if you've read the book, The Unbearable Wholeness of Being, come to the meeting at the end of church, after church, last week in October and last week in November. We'll do discussions of the book. If there are any parts that we don't understand, we'll work together to see if we can help each other understand them. And we'll prepare to give her a seed bed to put her ideas in. These are big ideas, and they're leading the way toward an evolutionary participation in the human species. So I'm going to open this morning with a reading from The Wholeness of Being, a very short reading from The Unbearable Wholeness of Being. You may notice a lot of dog-eared pages and things in this book. That's kind of how it is. This is in the chapter Love and Suffering, and section God Within. If God is love, then our only freedom and hope are in God. Etty Hilsum, a young Jewish woman, was not particularly religious, but she found freedom within the death walls of a concentration camp by recognizing the human capacity to make an inner place for God to dwell. In a small diary she kept, she left us profound insights on living joyfully in the midst of suffering. Hope, she indicates, is not asking God to do something for us, but us doing something for God, welcoming God into our lives. She writes this: Dear God, these are anxious times. Tonight, for the first time, I lay in the dark with burning eyes as scene after scene of human suffering passed before me. I shall promise you one thing, God, just one very small thing. I shall never burden my today with cares about tomorrow, although that takes some practice. Each day is sufficient unto itself. I shall try to help you, God, to stop my strength ebbing away, though I cannot vouch for it in advance. But one thing is becoming increasingly clear to me, that you cannot help us, that we help you to help ourselves. And that is all we can manage these days, and also all that really matters, that we safeguard that little of you, God, in ourselves, and perhaps in others as well. Alas, there doesn't seem to be much of you yourself can do about our circumstances, about our lives. Neither do I hold you responsible. You cannot help us, but we must help you and defend your dwelling place inside us to the last. Unless we stop making God an object of power, this is Ilya. Unless we stop making God an object of power, we cannot really be free. Whether we live in peace or violence, God is the cosmotheandric whole of our lives, the utterly faithful one who cannot disown his own self, because his, quote, self is our very existence, quoting 2 Timothy. The only way to know this God of love is to pray. Thomas Merton writes that if I find God, I will find myself. And if I find myself, I will find God. Because the essence of who I am lies in God. We are the instruments and points of God's inbreak, the privileged bearers of transcendence. The God of the philosophers has abandoned this world, but the God of Jesus Christ has raised it to new life and continues to be life in the ever-newness of cosmic evolution. What we hope for, what we love, depends on how we see our role in evolution. Teilhard describes the human person as the rising arrow of biological synthesis, the last born, freshest, most complicated and subtly varied of the successive layers of life. The human is not a passing phase of life in the cosmos, but integral to the whole of life. Being comes together and is deepened in the human person as he or she evolves in and with God cosmic energy. The beauty of the human lies not in the intellect alone, but in the body extended into the expanding cosmos that longs for unity and wholeness. We must know ourselves as loved and as being in love. In this love is our freedom, our hope, and our zest for life. To make a place for God within us is to enter into the heart, to let go in that inner space where God lives and evolve in greater unity and love. God is born from within when we come to know ourselves in the divine love that lives deep within us. There too we discover that we are not strangers in this evolving universe. We are its future. He's laying down a vision. She's communicating a vision by which those who embrace this vision can organize their lives in such a way as to coherently participate in the unfolding of the infinite powers that God has placed in the human being. Just because we have not culturally expressed them yet, just because we don't see them ordinarily around us, has nothing to do with what is possible. What is possible was laid down in the Gospels, what, first century Christianity, the book of Acts, filled with the miraculous. And just because the age of enlightenment came and just because we figured stuff out doesn't mean that God is not capable of still doing the miraculous. It means that we don't show up for him if the miracles aren't occurring. And he's waiting within us to be discovered. So the whole purpose of this church is the transformation of individual human beings. And in that, to take part in the transformation of the species. There's no amount of political invective, no amount of polemic, no amount of anything that can change the world but changed people. Changed from the heart out. And so the whole point of the church was to make a vessel capable of nurturing the ever-opening human consciousness that is possible in this world. It's an incubator. Or you might think of it as a hospital for souls that have gotten lost in the outer world and want to find their way back home like prodigals to the heart. And so the form of the church, the way it's set up, the whole being, the physical being of the church, is meant to conduct spiritual energy, hold that energy in a womb-like environment and incubate it until the second birth, the new self, begins to emerge from our hearts. Now, I learned something a long time. In 1978, I did my first retreat ever at Lama Foundation in San Cristobal, New Mexico, with Ram Dass. It was a two-week silent retreat, karma yoga retreat. I'd never done a retreat before. Most of the people there had not, some had. But there we were on the side of a mountain with no distractions, no electricity, nothing to distract us at all, except ourselves. And about the third day in, Ram Dass called a meeting. And he said, I'd like to invite you to participate in what he called meditation etiquette. In meditation etiquette, he was noticing that people were coming to the meetings whenever they felt like it, leaving whenever they felt like it, whispering during the meetings, whispering during the silences, making distractions to the presence. And he said, in meditation etiquette, we work together to co-create a spiritual environment that cools us out and slows us down and opens us up to the infinite. And it was really amazing to see how he was able to communicate that vision so fully that everything changed on about the third day. And quiet began to replace the busy that was going around. And in that stillness and in that silence, things began to happen that can't happen when we're busy and distracted. And the faces and the eyes changed over the last week. Openings happened, and beautiful souls were shining when they went home after 2 weeks. Meditation etiquette. That's how we really began the church. When we began in our house, it was informal, collegial. We had a good time. We had times of silence. But then we had a little bank building that became our church, and we were still pretty gregarious at that time. Hi, glad to see you. Here we are at church. Oh, how good. And then the next building, we got quieter. And when we built this building, and by the way, I don't know how many of you know it, but we built this building. Most of us worked a lot on this building. I put on a tool belt for a year and a half, and I've been all up in there and hanging out with the guys. My language suffered a little bit, but I loved it. All the bricks you see were laid out there by us. So many things were done by us. It's our building. These walls, these straw bale walls, were raised in one day, and they are filled with sacred objects from people's homes. People brought their favorite sacred things and put them in the walls. My guru's cap is directly behind me. A picture of him is directly behind me. I always know he's there. He's here. But it took a little while to build a culture of silence and stillness. And every now and then it's good to remind ourselves of the value of that and the rarity of it. I bet not many of us have been to monasteries. But aside from monasteries, where do you find silence and stillness? Where in this world can you put yourself in a place that allows you to feel deep things that are invisible when we're distracted by thoughts and socialization? So the church is designed to take us from our worldly mind and into the spaciousness and the embrace of this sanctuary. When the architect said, well, what do you want? I said, I gave him five words: silence, stillness, sacred, sanctuary, safety. Maybe I got mixed up, but that was pretty close. Because we wanted something to embrace us and hold us and invite us into a space that's really different from any place we ever go in the world. So when you come in here, there's the path of intention. Now this morning I had two hits on the path of attention. Ah, dance with the mystery. Thank you. Do you ever look down at those stones or just walk over them? They're meant to be teachers. They're meant to be impulses of reminding. They're meant to offer us insights into what we may just need to know right this second when we look down at that tile. But as we come in, we enter into the fellowship area, and we walk past the kitchen, we walk past the cloister, the gardens. And as we get down here, there's a bridge. It separates the worldly part of the church from the spiritual part of the church. And there's a sign down there inviting you to enter into silence. For many years, we did have dead silence before church. It was just silent. When we would walk in, it would be so inviting. Barb and I would come in, it's already down. It makes it so much easier to speak when everybody's aligned, when everybody's present and quiet, not distracted. Better things come out because I get more relaxed and the spirit works better, works through me better. So I want to invite you. You know, it's like a sweater that's got a thread and you pull on it and it starts to unravel. We don't ever want our silence to unravel. I heard myself last week come in here and talk to the person on the soundboard quite loudly before church. And it kind of alarmed me that I was willing to do that, that I was so casual, had forgotten the sanctity, the precious stillness that we all contribute to to make it happen. So I invite you, when you cross the bridge, put the mind of the world down. Put the fellowship, the socialization down. And enter into the silence. Take a look at the mother as you come by. She's on the back wall looking at me right now. She's like this. She's got her hands up. There are angels touching her fingers. She's got Christ in her belly. She's our open soul. She's the receptive soul, receiving inspiration from above, not grabbing or holding it, but blessing it outward. And in so doing, the Christ is being born in her very body. And so she's inviting our souls to enter into a disposition of open receptivity in which we're allowing our awareness to be touched by the angels so that the Christ may be born in our bodies and be carried out into the world to do our part as Hedy Hilsum was acknowledging in her diary from the concentration camp. You can help us help ourselves. We can help you help us. Together we co-create, but it takes an alignment in a common vision to be able to do that. Sometimes when people come here, we're so quiet, or we were so quiet, that sometimes people think we're not friendly. But that's not true at all. We're just meeting in a different way, in a felt way. It doesn't require a lot of, hey, how are you? You know, for the most part, I don't know what anybody does for a living here. And it's been that way for the 30 years the church has been alive. I don't know. Don't want to know, because I see your heart when you're here. I know the kind of person you are. I know the part that you know the kind of person I am. We're in this together for God's purposes. And that's enough said. We don't talk politics. We don't do business with each other. We come here for one single sole purpose, which Jesus called the first great commandment. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And in the silence that we co-create, in the silence that we learn to treasure and participate in, something can happen that we can't figure out. No intellect is ever going to touch this. No word is ever going to describe this or contain it. The felt presence of Christ in our hearts is incontrovertibly obvious when it comes. And it is definitely not a thought. Thoughts may help us get to it, but it's the opening disposition and the nurturing presence of the community that is the gift we receive. Now, here in this place, the community is not who hears the message. The community is the message. The people who inconvenience themselves weekly or biweekly or more often to come here and participate, that's the message. It's an uncommon kind of person who will inconvenience themselves in our time on behalf of a real relationship with God. Not a church or a theological or a dogmatic relationship, experiential relationship with God. To want that together, to support each other in its process, to participate mindfully and heartfully in entry into our sacred sanctuary is a wonderful opportunity for all of us. Meditation, etiquette, don't come late. Let's be quiet together. And as an experiment, let's find out what happens. Because we got a lot more people now. It was easier to be silent when we were just a few. But the power of our combined intention is unstoppable. It's unstoppable. There's a field growing here, a field of consciousness that is Christ's own consciousness. Ilya calls us the cosmotheandric church. Bernadette calls us the church of Christ consciousness. These people don't say things like that lightly. But it takes all of us together sharing a common vision and participating willingly in the co-creation of that vision for it to flourish and prosper and become what it can be, because none of us knows. You know, we started this community by putting out an offering for a 5-year experiment in Christian community. We thought, well, you know, we can find out for 5 years, throw our lives in and see what happens. If it doesn't work, we can go get a job somewhere. Well, here we are. Now, Ilya, to me, represents the next stage of our growth. Bernadette acquainted us with the mysticism of Christianity, with the final result of Christ in you, your hope of glory. Thomas showed us the way, gave us the psychological structures, gave us the Christian framework. What's the word? Oh, yeah, something. And Dilia is offering us. Did you hear Eddie Hilsom? These are troubling times. These are troubling times, my friends. What can we do? We have a lot we can do. But it doesn't look like what the world does. It looks like what contemplatives do. It looks like what monks do. We intended this from the beginning to be a monastery without walls. We view ourselves as monks in the world who do daily devotional practices, not to be good, but to stay in touch with reality, to offer ourselves as vehicles for the transformation of the species. The invitation is to every one of us to help co-create an uncommon church, an uncommon place for human evolution to flourish and prosper. I want to stop saying what I was saying right there. And we've got a few minutes left. What do we hear from you? Anybody want to, any among the old timers who want to share, or any newcomers who want to share? Francis, please.
I appreciate what you just shared. I've come from some, you know, my previous church experiences have been quite noisy. And I remember when I was praying about a community, one of the things that I knew I wanted was, I said, I want a quiet church. And what I specifically remember was saying, you know, I just didn't want any, I didn't necessarily want all of those things that had been before. I didn't want someone to shake my hand and grab me and go, sign up for our church and join our committee and all this. And so when I first arrived, I felt the silence as I walked through the courtyard and into the sanctuary. Someone handed me a bulletin, and I appreciated that they kind of honored my personal space. And when I came into the sanctuary, it was silent. And my heart just went, and so what I called quiet before, I will refer to as silence now.
Would you pass it back to Jim?
Yeah, I remember when we were building the church, I think we were putting in the big stones where the stream was. Very hard, very hot. Yeah. So at the time I had 4 kids, 2 stepkids. Was a very difficult time. And I remember kind of selfishly, we got in at 3. So I told my wife, well, I'm not going to be home till 5. And so I went down to the street, you know, down at the creek down there. And with kind of a, I guess not that good of an intention, but the good thing, even with a bad intention, sat there in the silence. And I stayed there for about 1.5 hours, and it was amazing to see little frogs. I'd never seen a frog that tiny. Just everything, all the nature just slowed me down. And I could see, as time went on, how the crawfish left, saw a little snake. So by slowing down, I could just see that even the world is on that time zone. It slows down.
Yeah, go ahead, Gay. And then Marie after you. Why don't you stand up and let them see you?
Well, I am fortunate enough to have been here since almost the beginning, at least on the church on 360, which was the first formal building. And this community, you know, I have no words to express what it has done for me in my life, but I want to give you one little kind of illustration. I was here when this building was being built, and among other things that I helped with were the brick walks out there, the walkways. And I remember my husband and I and about about four other people on our hands and knees, you know, laying these bricks. We thought we were doing it so carefully. We'd laid maybe 6-8 feet, so proud of ourselves. And Donald Janung comes along and looks at it and says, nope. So we had to pull him up and do it again. And that kind of intention was something brand new to me. That seems a little superficial. And when I say intention, I mean something entirely different. And I have learned so much from the intention of people who come here. And like Tim said, you know, sometimes I'm tempted to say, you know, I don't want to go tonight. I'd rather sit home. And that feeling of intention has changed my life. So thank you.
Marie, please. Marie. Now you've got to stand up.
I am standing up. That's an old line for us, Tim. Like Gay, I was here when we were doing the walks, and I remember scrubbing bricks and making them as smooth as we could. But you mentioned the stones with our sayings
path
on them.
Intention.
Yeah, the path of intention. And I've walked over those many times and taken a lot of time to read them. But what I've discovered is I can come back at any given time and see something new. And it doesn't matter how many times I've read that same thing, on one particular day, that will be new. Mm-hmm. And that's been very special to me.
Beautiful. Barbara?
I just want to say, I don't think we had any idea that any of this would happen.
No.
That this beautiful house of prayer would happen, that the depth of transformation would happen. And so from my point of view, I've seen what a bed of silence can do. It does change. It does change us. And so from my point of view, and many of you, I'm sure, you get to watch this garden of ordinary people. Because we're all ordinary and we all have Christ in us. Bloom. If you stay in the garden, blooming happens, depth happens, contemplative understanding happens, the presence of God happens. So it's pretty amazing what can happen doing nothing, intentionally, intentionally.
And what an uncommon thing it is in our culture to find a place of silence. It's uncomfortable at first. It's very uncomfortable to get quiet. But then something fills in behind the noise and we go, ooh. Rusty will be our last one.
I have a friend that from Pakistan, a very devout, God-centered man. And I remember the first time...
Wait a minute, we're not mic'd.
Not hearing? Hello, hello? Hello? And the first time he came... to the church.
That?
Huh?
Who?
Nizami.
Oh,
friend
yes.
From Pakistan.
Yes.
And he was walking along the path of intention, and he was avoiding all of the bricks that said something, because to him they were sacred. And it just gave me a whole different way of looking at something that I walk and just mindlessly just go to where I'm going.
Yeah.
And it was just, I appreciate you bringing that back to my remembrance.
My one of my favorite stones, there are many favorites, but Jesus is inside you and he's lonely. You should go see him. That came from Maharaji, whose picture is buried right behind me. Jesus is lonely. He's inside you. So I never think of titles for talks before somebody is standing there going, what's the title of this talk? 5 years of this, you'd think I'd remember, but today I have a title for this talk. It's Tending Our Sacred Space. Tending. It's a garden. It's a co-creation. Together we tend our sacred space, and it holds that sacredness and gives it back to us. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
So you will need your words.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not me all else to be, save that thou art. Thou
Thank you.
There's a garden where Jesus is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair. For it glows with the light of His presence. 'Tis the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and He opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting, and I go with my burden and just to learn from His lips words of wisdom. 'Tis the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and He opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting, and He bids you to come meet Him there. Just to walk and to talk with your Savior in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and He opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer.
And now we join together for a time of community centering prayer. To prepare ourselves, we simply become aware of the chairs on which we sit. And in that awareness that the chair is supporting our body weight, we let go. We accept that support and relax, deeply relax. Still within and without, we allow our attention to fall gently into the area of the heart, the seat of divine love, resting in the heart. We listen with the ear of the heart. Your visionary son, Muhammad, reminds me this day, O God, that I am a sleepwalker who wanders through life with eyes closed to the glory of Your presence. Lift my drooping eyelids this day. from the slumber of the unawakened, so that I might see you in the vastness of the universe, in the busy work of an ant, in the awesome beauty of a flower, in the ordered cycles of seasons, and in all that I shall encounter. Oh, that I might be awakened this day to how your glory fills all the heavens and earth, the temple where you have chosen to dwell. May I treat with profound reverence each blade of grass and the earth beneath my feet, and the food and drink that nourish me, and every person whose path shall cross mine. May I honor everything that lives and breathes. Answer this prayer as I bow before you, so that I need not wait till death to behold your divine face, to feel your embrace, to live in your blessed presence. As your son Saint Benedict once said, it is now time for us to rise from sleep. And we nurture that awakeness as we rest together in silent prayer. In peace, let us pray our family prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that feeds us, and we do it in the spirit of God's endless, infinite, abundant supply for every particle of His creation. Taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, we bless them with our knowledge of what's always been truth. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, how blessed we are when we simply remember God. awake now to the silent presence of the One who is. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray this. Amen. In the Eucharist, we're not only joined to Christ, whom we believe is present with his whole being under these symbols of bread and wine, but we believe we're joined with all other Christians, with every member of the human race, and with the whole of creation. Christ is in the hearts of all men and women, and in the heart of all creation, sustaining everything in being. This mystery of oneness enables us to emerge from the Eucharist with a refined inward eye and invites us to perceive the mystery of Christ everywhere and in everything. He who is hidden from our senses and intellect becomes more and more transparent to the eyes of faith, to the consciousness that is being transformed. The Spirit in us perceives the Spirit in others. The Eucharist is the celebration of life, the dance of the divine in human form. We are a part of that dance. Each of us is a continuation of Christ's incarnation, insofar as we are living Christ's life in our own lives, or rather instead of our own lives. The Eucharist is the summary of all creation coming together in a single hymn of praise, surrender, and thanksgiving. In the Eucharist, all creation is transformed again into his divine person and thrust into the depths of the Father forever and ever. Even material creation has become divine in him. Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask pour out your Spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
your Son. Of Jesus, your Son.
Thank you.
Jesus, your Son.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and pray Amazing Grace. Thank you. Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you for inspiring us to carefully